One of the things that has kind of provoked me of late, I'd say since the publication of the Motu Proprio Traditionis Custodes, has been the recurrence in the text itself somewhat, but also of other places in society, like, you know, the Archbishop of Dijon and so on, of a kind of violence that we probably haven't known, or at least we haven't registered, since the late 60s and early 70s, when the Novus Ordo came to bear, the Mass of Pope St. Paul VI came to bear upon us. And one of the things which long before this I always said to myself was, is that we should never repeat that kind of strategy or that kind of activity, such as we saw it back then in the 1970s, where people were just, things were just imposed upon them, where things were taken away, where books were burned or vestments were destroyed and other things like that happened, where people were told, you're going to sing during Mass and you're going to like it. You're going to respond to these things. You're going to stand now and you're going to kneel now, so on and so forth. There was some of it you could see in the last couple of years in terms of people who were, especially parish priests, but also sometimes in seminaries, where they were requiring that when you came up to communion, you had to, this is before COVID, that when you came up to communion, you had to stand and you had to receive communion in the hand. Freedom, whatever freedom for expression in terms of the possibilities, legitimate possibilities, other possibilities for receiving Holy Communion, were denied to people. An act of violence. There's no other way to describe it. And as I say, in these days, there's a lot more of this violence that's coming to the fore, and with it also a recurrence in the lives, sometimes not of older people, but of actually somewhat younger people, younger than me anyway, of that same kind of anger or bitterness or hatred which animated a lot of the violence that we saw back at the time of or after the Council, or especially during the period of implementation of the liturgical reform from the late 60s and into the 70s. And the anger which is there, the hatred which is there, is something that I keep trying to understand, I keep trying to deal with, and I can't. I can't find the reason for it, and I can't find a way to respond to it. You'll find yourself in certain gatherings of people, especially priests, where there's obviously this undercurrent, this tone which is coming out, and they're not good. I sort of think that because we're dealing with matters of the heart, that perhaps the best thing we could do in terms of all of that is to pray, to beseech the Lord, to beg Him insistently and with great humility and purpose to take the sword out of people's hands, to take the bitterness out of their hearts, and cause them to come together and to understand one another better than they do at the present moment, especially those who are trying in the present moment to achieve some kind of a goal or a change in terms of the usus antiqui, or the mass of the ages, and in some way or another finally putting an end to it, so to speak. And that's the way that some of them actually sort of formulate the thing. It's interesting in these days, the discussion of the reform of the reform is coming back somewhere or another. We'll see whether some of the same authors that were so big on that some years back, whether they come to the fore once again, whereby the premise is, of course, that the old missal and the old mass is going to disappear, and as a result, we better hustle up and put the Novus Ordo in order, because there are so many things that are wrong with it. Well, that kind of discussion, the longer we were under the regime of Summorum Pontificum, the wind went out of its sails just because it's such a daunting challenge to try to do that, because there's no objective criterion that's generally acceptable. And so people are, they're tempted to, and they're often accused of violence or of trying to impose their own will. You know, who are you to tell me what to do, or to say that this is proper liturgy, or this is good music, or this is that, or so on. Anyway, I think I may try, I'm going to hope to try anyway, in the next days or weeks or months or whatever it is, to try to concretize some of my reflections around not so much this topic of violence as around the question of what is the way forward? What is the way toward reconciliation or understanding? Because apart from whatever the Holy Father might have said about traditionalists or some of them being kind of a mean-spirited people and so on and so forth, I find more reason to worry about the quote-unquote mainstream and some of the things which are there, not only outspokenly so, but also as bitter or kind of mean-spirited undercurrents. I'm going to try. I'll see if I can't put together a little outline of some topics and do some constructive things and hopefully come up with something that would inspire people who listen to reflect a little bit and to see what could possibly be a way forward. I am not in the least bit ready to think that the way forward is with the usus antiquior, that the Novus Ordo does not offer us a way forward. But that's my opinion, and as I say, I'm not going to impose it upon anyone. I'm just going to state it, and we'll move from there. But I think that there are some other issues that deserve more discussion, and we should do what we can to see whether or not we can face up to them. So, anyway, I think I'm just going to kind of close with that for now. And sort of, I don't know whether it's a shot across the bow or whatever it is, and we'll see whether or not I actually sit down, make some outlines, and kind of systematically discuss some of these topics. But the heart of the thing is that where we're at now, I'm sorry, there's too much game playing that's going on. There's not enough depth either. Some very good people who regularly even celebrate the usus antiquior, they don't seem to understand why it is that the Mass of the Ages is making its comeback, why it is that it's so attractive to young people. It's not a clerical movement. It's a lay movement. It's another movement for renewal in the Church, just like we've had over the course of the centuries. We'll see whether or not someday we can look back on this movement and say the same things about it as we could about the mendicants, about St. Francis and St. Dominic, who put something very different out there and changed the face of Europe by their preaching and their example, their poverty, their goodness, their holiness. But for the time being anyway, as I saw in Switzerland and as I'm seeing now here in the United States, we have all these marvelous lay people, various age groups, they belong to all of them, but an awful lot of them are young people, and they're seeking the face of the Lord, and they think that they've found it, and I think they're right, in the usus antiquior, and we should not try to stifle them or to take that away from them, but to offer them the possibility of using that great liturgy as the cornerstone, the source and summit, as we say, of Christian existence, to enable them to better raise their children, to better live their lives as Catholics, and thereby to bring light and joy and peace to our world. Pray for me as I go about discerning whether or not I should go on with this thing or not, and we'll see once what comes of it. But God bless you and keep you, but please pray. Pray for the peace of the Church. Pray for that those who have such bitterness and such narrowness in their hearts might open wide, as St. Paul says, their hearts, and allow the Lord to come in.